Let us go to the Word. It's Colossians chapter 1, a new letter. By the way, after the service, there is coffee. I know my dear friends from Vida Nova, it's not singing, but the coffee is still here. We can live without singing, but we can't live without... Yeah! So coffee after. I made a Brazilian coffee for you, okay? It's good. Colossians chapter 1. The title is The Power of God. The Power of the Gospel. Probably typo mine. Okay? The Power of the Gospel. First verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Verse 7, you learn it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, the power of the gospel. In order to understand this, I'm gonna go to the Jesus' parable of the sower. And it's here, so you don't need to turn your Bibles. I'm gonna read for you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Everybody knows this parable. Yes? Okay. Everybody knows. Even who don't go to church, they know. So let us repeat again just the last sentence. He who has ears, good. Because this is the very first point of the sermon. The gospel must be understood. That's why every time Jesus talks in parables, he says, he who has ears, let them hear. Because sometimes people listen, but they don't hear. They listen, but they don't understand. And if you read verse 4 to 6 again with me, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that springs from hope that it's stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. You heard it. Verse 6. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood. all God's grace in all its truth. The parable of the sower depicts the hearts of the people. And the first heart is the person who didn't understand. The seeds fall among the place on the side of the roads. So the person hears the gospel but don't understand. Very good illustration. The person comes to church with their body, but their head is on in bed. Or worse, their head sits in Monday. I need to work Monday. Why are you going to think about this? A nice preacher, you know, good-looking young guy preaching, and your mind, it's on Monday. Think about work. So I'm speaking the seeds of the Word of God, and it's falling, not in the heart. It's falling outside the heart, because the mind, it's not here. The mind is somewhere else. The heart, it's not in God. The heart, it's somewhere else. So if it's not understood, the gospel, if it's not understood, the seed, it won't produce food. The bird's going to come and eat the seed up. So first thing that the Colossae did, they understood the seed of the gospel. And if you pay attention to me, the Apostle Paul calls the seed of the gospel as God's grace in all its truth. God's grace in all its truth. Because humans tend to be very extremist, partial. They don't like to see the whole picture. So it's very easy for me as a preacher only to preach the good things. You're going to be blessed. Things are going to work well. Everything works for good for you. Or there is the other kind of guys, which is not me. They are the harsh people. Watch out. The wrath. Hell. Condemnation. Be careful. The Apostle Paul is telling us something very interesting here. The seed that produces fruit, it's the all the truth seed. Not partial truth seed. Does that make sense? Heresies, they come up from that kind of seed, the partial seed. The prosperity gospel. Does God talk about blessing in the Bible? Yes or yes? But the prosperity gospel, blessing, blessing. You cannot be poor. You must live in the best place. You must drive the best car. You must, you must, you must. Super partial. Wrong focus. Quick question. Did that message was understood? The person who is preaching that message, did they understood the seed? They didn't. They're taking some aspects of the seed and doing their own thing. Another example, the hyper grace, salvation. Yes, does God save? Definitely. We preach salvation. But the hyper grace preaching, they never mention repentance, sanctification, turning away from your sins. So wait a minute, that's partial gospel. That's a partial seed that was not understood. So the Apostle Paul is saying, Colossians, I see faith, love, and hope in you because you understood the full gospel. You understood the gospel in its all the truth. And therefore, it produces fruit, which is our second point. The gospel produces fruit. If you understand the gospel in all its truth, not partially, it's going to produce fruit. Verse 4, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love, you have for all the saints the faith and love that spring from the hope that is in store up for you in heaven. Faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. Paul repeats these three words together many times. But there is one special address in the Bible that these three are together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The chapter about love. Love is the greatest gift. Love above all. He summarized the chapter saying this. It remains faith, love, and hope, but the greater among them is love. So Paul is telling the Colossians, because they understood the message of the gospel, that faith and love and hope, it's in their heart. It's in that church. And that's a sign of a church that it's mature. If you want to see a mature church, if you want to see a mature Christian, he's a loving person, he's a faithful person, and he's hopeful. Loving, he loves God, he loves people. Faithful, he has faith and he's faithful, both. He believes in what the Bible says. He doesn't argue with the Bible. He doesn't compromise. And he advocates for it. He's faithful. And he hopes. His heart, it's not here. His heart is not in his career. His heart, it is in heaven. He's awaiting the Lord. He wants the Lord to come. He wants the resurrection of the body. He wants new heavens and new earth. He has faith. He loves. And he hopes. And if you see this, it is not practical. The Apostle Paul is not talking about love by giving something. Love by saying the right thing. He was very abstract, let's say. Love, faith, and hope. Why? Because he's talking about core beliefs. He's talking about core values. He's not talking about the practicality. Why? Because the seed produces fruit in the soil. The seed produces the fruit inside the heart. So that's why the Apostle Paul is not talking about the practicality. He's talking about your heart and your mind. Be a faithful person. Be a loving person. Be a hopeful person in your heart. Absolutely and automatically, your actions also going to be. You're going to demonstrate by your actions. Example, if I go to the best place on earth, Brazil, and I spend 10 days in the beach from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. When I come back here, what do you expect? That I'm very tanned, correct? And more chubby as well because mama is feeding me, right? You're expecting those things. If that doesn't happen, you're going to ask me, why? You didn't go to Brazil? Right? That's what the Apostle Paul is teaching. Once you were exposed to the seed of the gospel and you understood that, it's going to show up. It must show up and it has to show up. Especially in the letter to the Colossians, the fruit of the gospel, you see that he uses a very interesting word. He says, the God's grace in all its truth. And when we speak about the truth, we are talking about facts, exactly right things, just like 2 plus 2, it's 4. It's exactly, it's a fact. But here in Colossians, truth has even another connotation. It means reality. Because 2 by 2, it's 4, but that's only in my mind. That's only logic. But when the Apostle Paul uses the word truth, especially in this letter, he's talking about reality. He's talking about things you can see. He's talking about things everybody can notice. So he's saying this, Colossians, I have heard about your faith. I have heard about your love. I have heard about your hope. Why? Because the fruit of the gospel, it is true. It is reality in you. I can see in that church. And by the way, the Apostle Paul, it's not the planter of the church. In verse 7, you read, you learn it from Epaphras. Epaphras is the planter of the church, not the Apostle Paul. But the faith and love and the fruit of the gospel in that church, it's flourishing because they understood the seed of the gospel. And the seed, just as Jesus teaches, it bears fruit 160 and 30-fold. So the gospel must be understood. Then the gospel produces fruit that is truthful, there is reality, there is tangible. With that being said, the third point, we're going to switch a little bit the gears, but it's a beautiful one. The gospel reaches the world. The gospel goes worldwide. And now I invite you to my brain, because I like to think. Sometimes I should be called a philosopher. You're gonna love this one. Think with me. Some things grow naturally. Think about the weeds in Canada. You shower the flower, and if you miss one day, it starts fading. You don't do anything to the weed, and the next day, they show up. And if I don't take care of that little flower bed here next door, I'm going to become the pastor who is the worst gardener of the history of Emmanuel Reformed Church. I need to take care of that weed. Anyways, it grows naturally and it grows fast. Okay? Some other things, on the opposite, it's hard to grow. You know I like business people. And the reason I like business people, because I admire them. It's very, very hard for you to have an idea, a vision, and put it out. It's hard. It's easier to go and work for somewhere else who had the vision and the idea, and they struggle him and just pay me to do the service. To have the idea is the hard thing. So you need to have the idea, and then you need to make it work, and then you need to make it grow. And once it grows, you need to get people to work with you, and they need to be people of vision, otherwise your vision is gone. It is hard. Imagine on a provincial range in Ontario. Now let us grow a little bit more. nationwide, Canada. Now let us make grow a little bit more, America, South, Central, North America wide. But now let us grow worldwide. Was it a long journey? Very, very hard. Sometimes the person, the founder, is not the one who makes it grow worldwide. It's only the second or third generation because it's a hard thing to grow. So now think about the gospel and see the statement that the Apostle Paul does in verse 6. Verse 6 says, all over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing. All over the world, this gospel is producing fruit and growing. If the weeds grow naturally, if the business is hard to grow, the gospel, it's neither. It is supernatural. It grows by the power of the Lord. It grows because of the grace of the Holy Spirit. We have one task and we have one assurance. We have one responsibility and we have one assurance. What's our responsibility? Go and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples. Go and teach people from every nation, every tongue, every tribe. You go. But we also have an assurance. Jesus is gonna make his gospel grow. Jesus is the one who makes his church to grow. Jesus is the one who makes the seed reaches worldwide. We have this responsibility and we have this assurance. What does that teach us then? Let us come back so we get the application of the sermon. First, you must understand the seed. Secondly, the seed is going to produce fruit. Third, the seed does not produce fruit only in your life, only in your local church, but this seed produces fruit worldwide. What is the application then, Gustavo? What is the application the Apostle Paul would do here? Two applications and two illustrations, okay? First application, preach the gospel. Easy. Preach and teach the gospel. Why? Because it's gonna grow outwards. When I preach, it doesn't grow in me. It grows beyond me. What's the second application? Read the gospel. Read the Bible. Because it's gonna grow where? Inside me. Because that's what the Apostle Paul teaches. You understand? It produces fruit and it grows worldwide. Therefore, you're going to read in order that you understand and it grows in you. And you're going to preach in order that it grows out of you. Makes sense, right? Two illustrations for us to remind ourselves to preach and to read. To preach and to read. First illustration, it grows inward us. Reading the scriptures is just like the fire. The seed is small, it produces 160 and 30-fold. The fire, it starts small and it grows in length, but it grows also in substance and power. When you read the Bible day by day, day by day, but you think, I don't remember everything I read. Me either. We are not a computer. We're just human beings. The seed grows like the fire. It grows in substance. It grows in power. Keep leading, lighting the fire within you every single day by reading the gospel, because the promise here is that it grows. And now the illustration for us to preach the gospel. We start the sermon talking about seeds. And seed is a parable for what Jesus really wants to talk about seed. He's talking about my heart and your heart. So how does it grow? It grows just like he did in the beginning. He promised a seed to Abraham. A seed, one son to Abraham. One son in flesh, but also a spiritual son. After a few years, Abraham had Isaac, one seed. Isaac had two seeds. Jacob, the former pastor of the church. No, I'm joking. Jacob from the Bible and Esau. Now, Jacob had 12 seeds, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 seeds, now have many that I don't know anymore. You see how it multiplies? You see how it is spiritual? You see how he's talking about people? He's talking about people to get to know the Lord, people to get saved, people to be part of the family of God. That's the kind of seed Jesus is talking about. That's the kind of seed Paul is talking about. That's the kind of seed we must preach the word of God, because it's going to grow just like it grew in the beginning in Genesis. Just as it grows like a fire in our hearts, it's the power of the gospel that grows in us. Amen? So what's your task for this week? Preach the gospel and read the gospel so that it grows. Let us pray. Lord, may the seed of your word grows in our heart. And may the seed of your word be planted in other people's ears and hearts through our mouth. Give us a chance to share the good news, the gospel, a verse of the Bible with a person this week, Lord. And we pray that these grow, that you water the seed, and that it bears fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.